We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From Benny on Twitter, since when is it mandatory that you force me to put something in my body? Well, the NFL's made it clear it's not mandatory. Neil in Rockville saying that they probably, with the union protection, can't make it mandatory. But again, it's not. You have freedom of choice, but you're not. You don't have freedom of consequence. There are lots of companies now in this country that are requiring you to be vaccinated or you can't work for them. There are universities around this country now that are requiring students to be vaccinated or they can't attend the school. You have the freedom of choice, of course, your choice, your body, but it doesn't mean that you have freedom of consequence. It's very similar to the freedom of speech with Colin Kaepernick. It didn't make him, you know, free of consequence in that situation. By the way, somebody pointed out to me on Twitter, it was the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game that was postponed on Thanksgiving night. The NBC game last year, Baltimore-Pittsburgh, remember, was postponed, and it was moved to the following Wednesday, if you recall. And that cost NBC $100 million. That's what they pay. They pay $1.7 billion for the NFL package. So if teams really are going to be responsible for a forfeiture, the economic impact, if you're in a national television spot, a Monday night game or an NBC Sunday nighter or a Thanksgiving, you know, NBC game, it could cost you $100 million. Again, I don't personally, and I would wager heavily against any NFL game being forfeited this year. I think no games will get cut, but I do believe players will get cut that aren't vaccinated, especially those on the training camp bubble. Let's switch subjects and bring in Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN, because I talked about this story yesterday, and I'm very interested in it, in the fallout and the possible, you know, how it manifests itself moving forward. Mark, of course, a longtime columnist and writer for ESPN.com. He joins me right now. So let's start with just, you know, a 30 to 60 second, what Oklahoma and Texas are trying to do and what happened yesterday when they didn't appear on the league's conference call.
I think clearly, you know, all signs are they want to get to the SEC and leave the Big 12. And sooner rather than later, they've got some media rights deals with the Big 12 that, you know, could cause them to legally have to stay through the 2024 season. I don't think it comes to that. I think they'll negotiate a buyout fee, which is under the bylaws around $75, $76 million. They'd basically be forfeiting 2 years of media rights money, and it was $38 million last year. But, you know, I just think, you know, the call last night, they were invited to show up, and it's kind of like high school when you ask the cheerleader out and she didn't show. She was probably with the starting quarterback. So I think they're probably gone.
So is the Big 12 just a much lesser revenue opportunity for Oklahoma and Texas? I mean, we're talking about a Texas football program, which, by the way, has really been an underachiever, one of the real underachievers in college sports, going on, you know, multiple decades now. But what is sort of the incremental opportunity of being in the SEC versus the Big 12?
I saw a stat from Chris Felica, the Bear, on Twitter the other day that said I think they have been ranked, Texas had been ranked in the top 25 or top 10 for 14 weeks since 2010 or something like that.
Jesus.
I think Texas A&M had been like 44 weeks. You know, talking to people inside the SEC and around the Texas program, I think they've just looked at the last few years. The Aggies are on this pretty sharp rise under Jimbo Fisher, and Texas has just been stuck in neutral since Cole McCoy got hurt in the national championship game. They're getting out-recruited in Texas, which they can't stand, and I think Alabama and LSU are doing enough damage in the state that they feel like they've got to make a move. And look, at the bottom line, it's always about money. It's always about finances. And they just feel like the Big 12, you know, is not going to be on the same level as the SEC or the Big 10 or even maybe even the ACC moving forward.
So is it your hunch right now, as we talk to Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN, that it'll happen? It'll eventually happen, Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC?
I think so. You know, I would not rule out the Pac-12, as weak as that conference is right now. You know, that's where they nearly went in 2011. Right. And, you know, we'll see how much pressure there is from the legislatures in Oklahoma and Texas, because the last go around, it was pretty clear that the lawmakers weren't going to let Texas go without Texas Tech, and they weren't going to let Oklahoma go without Oklahoma State. Now, I think it's changed now, but we'll see. You know, the Big 12 is going to have a hard time surviving. I mean, you can add Houston and SMU and Boise State and some other schools, but it doesn't add much to your league. And I think we're getting closer and closer. I think I've said it to you before. I mean, Nick Saban told me 8 years ago now that there was going to be three or four super conferences, and it may be closer to three. And
all right,
you know,
so
shame. Yeah,
those three would be the SEC, which, by the way, the additions of Texas and Oklahoma would get them to 16 teams. Do you think they – I mean, what I talked about yesterday, tell me if you agree, the next step would be to start to try to raid the ACC, Clemson and Florida State, to add to the SEC. Wouldn't that be the next step?
Yeah. You know, it's weird because there's always been this gentleman's agreement in the SEC that you wouldn't take – in another in-state school. Like Georgia could block Georgia Tech, Florida could block Florida State, South Carolina could block Clemson. It seems like the Texas name is big enough to where Texas A&M is going to get overruled. I have a hard time believing Georgia would let Georgia Tech back in. More importantly, I don't think South Carolina would want Clemson in the SEC, period. I could see the Big Ten possibly going after somebody like Georgia Tech or Virginia, the high-level academic institutions,
right,
to try to expand their footprint. But, you know, it's all different now. It's not about footprint as much anymore because of streaming. It's not about televisions and households. I think this next wave of realignment, I think it's unfortunate, but I think it's going to be more about contraction than expansion. And I think, you know, I hate to see what's going to happen to the Army and Navy and Air Force and Boise State. And it's not just going to be the Georgia Southerns and Georgia States and South Alabamas who get knocked down a couple notches. I mean, it could be Iowa State, Kansas State, schools like that.
Well, I guess, you know, you mentioned that we're headed towards what Nick Saban suggested 7 or 8 years ago to three major conferences. Obviously, the SEC and the Big Ten would be two of those three. I'm curious as to whether or not you think the ACC or the Pac-12 would be the third.
Well, I said three or four. The Pac-12, you know, if the Pac-12 could swoop in, you know, and grab Baylor and TCU – and Kansas, as awful as their football program is, you know, there's still programs out there that matter. Oregon and USC and UCLA, if they can ever
and
get a turnaround
with
Washington. Yeah, and big markets. So, I mean, there's a place for it. But somebody in the SEC a couple of days ago, you know, I said, does it end with Oklahoma and Texas? And they said, well, I just don't think there's anybody else out there that adds anything. He said, but, you know, he goes, I don't know. He says, you know, it might end up where the SEC is kind of like the English Premier League. You know, it's the super conference, and it's the only conference that matters. And yeah, but I don't think it's, I don't think it's inconceivable that the SEC could add Texas and Oklahoma and say, hey, we're going to pay our players, and if you want to play with us, that's fine.
We're talking to Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN. I actually have that on my list, the NIL, and you just took it to the next level, which is beyond NIL, which is paying the players and sort of almost, you know, disbanding from the NCAA. But I want to stick with, you know, what would come after Oklahoma and Texas, because to me it reeks of, you know, the what started sort of in the 2005 time frame and continued through when Maryland, you know, left the ACC as a charter member to join the Big Ten, and that's the school I care about as an alum. You know, at the time, I was really hoping that the Big Ten would land, the University of North Carolina or Virginia. They were rumored to have been approached by the Big Ten as well. I wanted somebody to come with us. I didn't want to go solo. You know, Rutgers came along, but that didn't mean anything to Maryland people. You know, they've got this research designation in the Big Ten. You've got to be one of those AAU or AUA research universities, which Virginia is, which North Carolina is, with Georgia, with what Georgia Tech is, and what Duke is. So what would be your guess on the Big Ten trying to match the SEC in expanding? Would they feel the pressure to expand? And who would be the likely targets?
Notre Dame, obviously.
Yeah.
But they've got the part-time agreement with ACC. The ACC. I think those schools you mentioned, I think, you know, Georgia Tech, Virginia, you know, Duke and North Carolina, ACC blue bloods, but, you know, none of this in all these scenarios, and we're paying hypotheticals. I mean, basketball just doesn't matter in it. As good as the Carolina and Duke basketball programs are in terms of the finances,
right,
basketball is just kind of obsolete in the entire, you know, scheme of things. So I don't know. And I will say this too. I would not be surprised to see Jim Phillips, the new ACC commissioner who was at Northwestern, I would not be surprised to see him try to make a run at Texas and Oklahoma as well. I think that's the only two schools that really make any sense for the ACC.
We're talking to Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN. I'll end with this. You know, you made the comment, you know, the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma, maybe they essentially depart from the NCAA, start paying their players, whatever. But in this new sort of wild, wild west of NIL, I mean, I don't even know how you predict how it impacts the most important person for me in this, and that is the consumer. Like, I'm a massive, as you know, I'm a massive college sports fan, a massive college football fan. How is this going to impact us? You know, the people that love Saturday afternoons and Saturday nights. What's going to happen here to college football and college basketball as well over the next couple of years?
I feel, like I said earlier, I think it's contraction. I think, you know, I think it's the 36 to 48 to 60 teams that really matter, some more than others. Look, if the SEC adds Oklahoma and Texas, they're going to get 75% of the top players in the country year in, year out. You know, now I think it becomes more of a regional sport. I think it was more national 5-10 years ago. I think it's become a more and more regional. Nobody in the South cares about what happens in the Pac-12, and nobody in the Pac on the West Coast cares what happens in the SEC. I think it becomes more regionalized. And as we get closer to a 12-team playoff, again, if the SEC adds Oklahoma and Texas, you could see 6 or 7 SEC teams in that playoff every year.
Yeah. Meantime, Dabo Swinney doesn't want an expanded playoff because he's in it every year. He's become, by the way, and I don't know what your feeling is. Look, Clemson used to be the team that would lose the game every year that would call, you know, that they weren't expected to lose. Remember, all throughout the 90s into the 2000s, the aughts, they lost games every year that they shouldn't have lost, that cost them a playoff spot, cost them a shot at a BCS title, etc. And now they've become, you know, obviously one of the two or three powerhouses in college football. He's become insufferable to listen to over the years. What's your overall thoughts on Dabo?
He's become somewhat of a heel. I mean, he's outspoken. He's got his beliefs. He's backtracked quite a bit on the NIL stuff because he knows it's going to hurt him in living rooms across the country. And heck no, he wouldn't want a playoff. I mean, yeah. I don't think Nick Saban would want an expanded playoff. He wants to play Ohio State and Clemson every year instead of Georgia and Auburn and Texas A&M and LSU in the playoff.
Exactly. Good to hear from you. Hope you're well. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Kevin. Have a good weekend.
Mark Schlabaugh, everybody, from ESPN. When we come back, what would define a successful Washington football team season? I've given three choices in our Window Nation Twitter poll of the day. The three choices are winning season would be a successful season, all right, winning nine games or more. Making the playoffs again, you would need that to define it as a successful season. Or winning at least one playoff game. One of the three. Give me the answer, 301-230-0980. I'll give you mine when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
J.P. Finley reported yesterday or last evening that the Washington football team vaccination rate is moving up per his sources. It's now between 50% and 60%, and there's optimism that things will continue trending up as the team heads to Richmond for training camp next week. So more on this vaccination stuff here, and we'll save the conversation about how you would define a winning season or a successful season, excuse me, for next week as we head towards training camp. So according to yesterday's league memo, you know, teams cannot actually cut players who have not received the COVID vaccine for that reason only. They're not going to say that, though. You know, I think the, if you recall earlier in the summer or maybe late spring, the Bills general manager, Brandon Bean, sort of implied that vaccination status will be important when it comes to cut down date. I think what you're going to see and hear is nothing from teams related to that. It will all be about performance and, you know, the guy, you know, earned it and the best player won the job. There's also the situation of star players who have guaranteed contracts. You know, there are going to be you're not going to have teams that have more likely than not 100% vaccination rates. And you can't cut players that are unvaccinated that have guaranteed contracts. There are major salary cap consequences to releasing a player that isn't vaccinated. So this is really going to apply to the back, you know, third or really the back, you know, quarter of your roster only. Maybe even only the last five or six spots on a roster, where teams absolutely will take that into consideration, whether they're allowed to say it or do it specific to that reason and that reason only or not. If there is the threat of major financial discipline and punishment for losing a game due to a COVID-19 outbreak of unvaccinated players, you're not going to put an unvaccinated player on the back end of your roster. If there's a vaccinated player you can put on there that's almost as good or as good, this is where you will see the vaccination availability and the league's stance on this. This is where the results will come. Not, in my belief, a forfeited game. I just still, sort of practically speaking, we're still in this weird era of life. And as it applies to sports, they're going to do whatever they can to get every game played and every game played on television. By the way, some of those rescheduled games turned out to be pretty big events. You know, odd times on a Monday. Remember, Washington-Pittsburgh was played on a Monday afternoon prior to the scheduled Monday night game. It was not nationally televised as perhaps we thought it might be, but still, there were some games. There was a Monday night doubleheader with a Buffalo-Kansas City game played at like a 5 p.m. Monday start time. We had the Ravens and the Steelers on a Wednesday afternoon. That was the game where RG3 got the start. The NFL, it doesn't make any sense to me why the NFL, it makes sense to me why they would really be forceful right now in messaging that games would be forfeited and that teams and players with unvaccinated players could be punished severely and unvaccinated players could cost their teammates paychecks. They really do want to put pressure on teams and players to get vaccinated. It doesn't make sense, however, that they would actually follow through on forfeiting a team. Now, I guess last year there was a possibility that if Baltimore's COVID outbreak had lasted longer and maybe there really wasn't going to be an opportunity to reschedule that game without an extra week in the season to do it, and there was more flexibility around Super Bowl dates, et cetera, last year in Tampa. And I don't know what that situation is this year. But I think the league will do everything it can do to avoid forfeiting a game. It's in their financial interest not to have any games forfeited. It's also in their best interest to put pressure on teams and players to get vaccinated now to lower that percentage. I think, as I've said since the beginning of this conversation today, I don't think games will get cut, but I do think players will. I think there are players that will be adamant that they are not going to get this vaccination for whatever reasons they deem are right for them, but it will cost them an opportunity to be employed by an NFL team. And they'll have to find another line of work, or they'll have to wait until this thing has totally ended a year or two from now and then try then. The bottom line is, the fewer the unvaccinated players, the smaller the chance, probability-wise, that a team will experience a competitive disadvantage or a financial punishment. So unvaccinated players that are on that proverbial roster bubble are going to be at an increased risk of being released because of it. Even though technically, according to the league memo, vaccination status can't be a factor in being cut or not cut. Teams aren't going to say it, obviously, and they're going to certainly cut down on the Brandon Beans of the world, sharing their thoughts on what unvaccinated players will face. But they are going to face something. But not if you're a star player with a guaranteed contract. It's too costly to release that player. and by the way, too costly to your product on the field. I don't know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't with the Washington football team and the increased number that JP reported. And as it relates to Montez Sweat, you know, the league has to continue to do a good job of informing with actual accredited people what this vaccine is and isn't. You can't have players believing that vaccines are actually a cure, not a preventative. That seems to be something that the league should be able to, through information and education, get through to players who are really ignorant to what this is. I'm not talking about the players who are informed and have decided because they had COVID and they've got built-up antibodies and they are hesitant on getting shots or putting things into their body that maybe, you know, others aren't. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the Montez Sweats of the world that really think, or at least thought, when he made that statement back in June, that he would just go ahead and get the vaccine once he got COVID. You know, he'd throw on the seatbelt right after the accident. They've got to let, you know, and inform those teams and make sure, even if they have to draw it out on a whiteboard, how it works, that this is a preventative. It's not, you know, what you take after you get it. Will be interesting. I think personally, there's going to be a mad rush here in a lot of these teams, and we're going to see the majority of NFL teams and a significant majority of NFL teams reach that 85% threshold by week one of the regular season. I also think, and it's just something to consider, that a lot of players will want the one-shot J&J answer, and I can't tell you whether or not they will have the choice or whether or not the league is suggesting one vaccine over another. But remember, that Johnson & Johnson one-shotter, while more convenient, has about a 20% less efficacy rate. So if you end up getting, you know, the Yankee outbreak recently, I read a story where some of the Yankee players that ended up testing positive for COVID-19 who were vaccinated had gotten the Johnson & Johnson. So there's a greater chance that you can still contract COVID with the J&J shot versus the Moderna or the Pfizer. Now, with all three, the chances, if you get COVID and you've been vaccinated with any of the three, that you will get sick are much lower than they were without the vaccination. Now, they're super low to begin with, you know, for especially professional athletes. Thanks to Linnell, thanks to Neil in Rockville, thanks to Mark Schlabaugh, who joined us on the show today. We will certainly next week get into much more football conversation. And the Twitter poll presented by Window Nation today, we will get into and take your calls on next week. Get your thoughts. Remember, training camp starts July 27th, so the lead up to that will be all football next week. Have a great weekend. Thanks to Linnell. Travis is up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.